greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery today. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and I want to welcome you to our radio program, which is brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the book of Revelation, so if you have a Bible with you, you can open up to Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 21, I believe, is where we will be today, and we will get to that in just a moment. But before we do, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we gather around your word, and Lord, we come back to the book of Revelation to look at the description of our eternal home for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so, Lord, as we look into this eternal state, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and our minds. And Lord, when it's all over, Lord, we will come away praising you for what awaits us, you know, on the other side in eternity. But Father, for now we are here. We are in this world that is full of turmoil, filled with struggles and problems. And so I pray that you will use today's message to equip us and to strengthen us so that we might better serve you here. And Lord, we'll commit it to you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it is really, really good to be with you today. Revelation chapter 21, we're looking at the eternal state. This is part 5. For the past 4 messages, we've been looking at our eternal home as described in Revelation chapter 21. This is a place which our Lord is currently preparing for us, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said these words. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." This is what is being prepared for us, what we're looking at in Revelation chapter 21. This is also the city, the New Jerusalem that is here in Revelation chapter 21. This is also the city that Abraham looked for as he departed from Ur of the Chaldees, really as he wandered through the promised land. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, and then verse 16 says this: "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." There it is. That's what we're looking at in Revelation chapter 21, and really in chapter 22 also. Now, the last time we were together, we looked at the inhabitants of this New Jerusalem, the inhabitants of this new city, this eternal state where we will spend eternity. Hebrews chapter 12, 22 and 23 read like this, and we get here a list of the inhabitants that will be in that city. He says, the writer of Hebrews says this, "But you are come into Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Okay, so let me break that down just to give you a reminder again. The inhabitants of the city, number one, it will be the living God, God the Father. That's what it's called, the city of the living God. And we learned that in Revelation 21. Whenever we came into that chapter, we found out that there God will tabernacle with his people. We will live in the presence of God in that city. Number two are the angels. Hebrews 12:22 says an innumerable company of angels. Third group will be the church. That'll be us. The general assembly, the church of the firstborn. That's us. The body of believers, the bride of Christ. We will be there. So, okay, so there's some excitement there. Just the fact that we will dwell in the presence of God. We will dwell in the presence of angels. Number four, Jesus Christ. He is the judge of all. And it says in Revelation or Hebrews 12:23, God, the judge of all, will be there. That's Christ himself. And number five, it's very interesting. The spirits of just men made perfect. It's what it says at the end of verse 23. That is all the saints that are not part of the church. That's Old Testament saints. That's tribulation saints. Those will be all the people that were saved outside of the church before the church existed and after the church is raptured away. The spirits of just men made perfect. So there's a lot to be said there, but that means that you and I will dwell in all eternity with the Old Testament saints, with Adam and Eve and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and Joseph and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Amos and Nehemiah, and the list just goes on and on and on. And these people, we will have eternity to spend with them. We also looked at how the city will be lighted by the unveiled glory of God. That's what will light the city. Today, as we move on, we're going to look at this city from a different angle. As we read through our text, there's not very much which we can expound upon, for we're given a detailed description by John, but there's something to be seen within the city which is not noticed by many who read their way through these verses. Today, I want us to see the city and all that is involved in the city as a picture of salvation and the blessings which the believer has as a child of God. So we'll call this salvation in the city. First of all, there is the wall. Watch Revelation 21:12a, the first part. It says, and had a great wall, a great and high, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, and at the gates 12 angels. We'll just stop right there. I want to just focus on the wall for a second. John tells us that the wall around the city was great and high. The wall speaks of the protection and the security which the believer has in Jesus Christ. Throughout all eternity, we will be reminded of how we were saved by Jesus Christ. We were protected and secured by him. Let me talk with you for a moment about the security of the believer. Once we are saved, we are kept secure by Jesus Christ. By him and not by what we do. We are kept saved, but we are saved by him, and we are kept saved by him. Let me give you a few verses that make it very clear about the security of the believer. Romans 5:19-21. Paul writes this. He says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. Okay, that would be the disobedience of Adam. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, that would be Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What? Now listen to this verse, verse 21 of Romans 5. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Okay, nobody would deny that. When sin entered into the world, it reigns in a person's life, and the end result is death, physical death. Physical death in a person's life. So sin, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so, now listen to this, now he's gonna draw a parallel here. Just as sin reigns to death, listen to this, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so let me explain that. So here's the situation. We are born sinners. We are born with a sin nature. We inherit that from our father. One of the consequences of sin is that we will one day die. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's inevitable. You can't, unless the rapture happens, you cannot escape death. You can't do it. It's going to happen. That's what Paul's saying in Romans 5, that just like death reigned, or sin reigned unto death, in the same way, now listen to this, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. In other words, okay, you can't stop death. Neither, once you are saved, can you stop eternal life, because grace reigns. We are saved by grace and we are kept by grace. Romans 5:10 says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled," listen to this, "we shall be saved by his life." You get that? We're saved by his life. What's that mean? It's not referring to his earthly life. His earthly life did not save us. That's not what did it. Okay? We are saved because of his sacrifice on the cross, his finished work on the cross, and we are kept saved, listen to this, by his present life. What's that? That's his life as our great high priest, as he intercedes for you and I. That's how secure we are. In order for you and I to lose our salvation, somebody would have to overpower our Lord and remove him from the position of the great high priest who intercedes for you and I. Let me go to John 11, 25 and 26. Whenever Lazarus died, Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now that's a statement that's speaking of resurrection. "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." So we are all promised a resurrected, glorified body. That's what he's speaking of right there. He extends that on out, though. He says this, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now, what's he mean? What's he talking about? Because we believe in him. We know him as Savior. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." We believe in him, but we know this, that if the rapture doesn't happen, that we will die. So what's he talking about here? He's talking about spiritual death. He's saying this, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You'll never die a spiritual death once you're saved, because you were born again, and that can never be reversed. That's what he's saying. Back to the wall. The wall around the city speaks of the security of the believer. Then you have the gates. Watch Revelation 21, 12 through 12 and 13. "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." The wall has 12 gates, 2 face the north, 2 face the south, 2 face the east, 2 face the west. What's this speak of? Speaks of the universality of the gospel. In other words, these gates in all 4 directions speak of how salvation is available to all. It makes no difference where we live, what we've done, or what we have become. God has made a way for every man to be saved. Salvation is available to all. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 11, and you know the story, it's the Christmas story. But listen to what the angel says to the shepherds. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You got that? All people. You see the universality of salvation that's available to everyone. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the satisfaction for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. You say, well, then why would anybody then not be saved? Because, listen, they have to make the choice to accept Christ as Savior before His blood is applied to their account. The payment has been made, but it's not applied to the account until it's accepted. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. There's yet more here. Watch 12 and 13 of Revelation 21 again. Had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And the gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. The gates bear the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me tell you what that speaks of. The grace of God. These were the sons of Jacob. And we know that they were human, and they made many mistakes. They were sinful men, and yet their names are on the gates. This again speaks of the grace of God. There's not one person who is worthy of heaven. There's not one person who deserves to spend eternity in heaven with God. But when we come to Jesus Christ for salvation, we're granted admission into the presence of God by grace. By grace. Grace is unmerited favor, which means it's getting what we do not deserve. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 read like this. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh. In other words, look, in the past, we were controlled by the course of this world, by the way the world's gone. We just went right with the flow. We were controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We had our lifestyle, our life lived in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Listen, we don't deserve forgiveness. But Ephesians doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Listen to this. It says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Listen, it doesn't matter what somebody says. These people that practice these sins will not be a part of the body of Christ. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to what he says in verse 11. And such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here's the deal. On the gates, you have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 gates, 12 names. That shows grace. Entrance only by grace. Unmerited favor. Watch verse 12 again of Revelation 21. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There are angels stationed at each one of those gates. That's not to keep evil out. Evil's not going to get in. There won't be any evil there. That speaks of the care of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 read like this. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister to you and me who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let me share something with you from the life of Jesus, Luke 22, 39 through 43. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Reading that, it makes me wonder how many times have we been strengthened by an angel and we didn't even know that it happened. We didn't even realize it. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. The writer of Hebrews tells us that. Here you see in Luke 22, you see that there was an angel sent to strengthen our Lord. So how many times has it happened for you and I that God has sent his angel to strengthen us? There's something else to see concerning the gates. Watch verse 21, if you would. Jump over to verse 21 of Revelation 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Each gate is made from one individual pearl. These pearls are extremely large. The pearls speak of something else concerning salvation, and that is the way of salvation. You see, pearls are formed through suffering. They're formed when a grain of sand or some other foreign object gets into an oyster, and it causes an irritation. The oyster then secretes that which forms the pearl, and the secretion coats the grain of sand, and thus the pearl is formed. The only way for man to enter this city was made through the suffering of Jesus Christ upon the cross. These pearls are reminders of the suffering which our Lord had to endure in order to make a way for us to come into that city. Hebrews 13:12 says this, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's only one way to heaven. It's through the suffering and a finished work of Christ. That is it. John 14:6 says these words, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me get you to the foundations. In Revelation 21:14, watch this. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the wall of the city is set upon 12 rows of brilliant stones that make up the foundation for the wall. Revelation 21, 19 and 20, listen to this. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chrysoprase, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. So the city sits on these spectacular foundations, 12 foundations of these spectacular, brilliant stones. The foundations will bear the name of the 12 apostles. So I then asked the question, what's the meaning or what's the picture behind this wall with the 12 foundations? The 12 apostles represent the church, and they're distinct from the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The foundation and the different layers of stones, I believe, speak of the work of the church while we are here on the earth. Speak of the work of the church. 1 Corinthians 3:9-15, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are his husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given to me, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. Listen to me. This place, this eternal dwelling place that God has for you and I will be absolutely spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Beyond anything that you and I can ever begin to imagine. It will be lighted with the glory of our Heavenly Father. In all the stones, with all their facets, will reflect the brilliance of His glory. That's what we have to look forward to. My words won't describe it. There's far more here than what I can ever begin to describe. I'm out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, they are free, or you can go to our website and everything is right on there. But if you would desire a CD, all you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date of the program and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we see you around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.